Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
You're the one that gives us our very heartbeat. God, it is you and you alone, and we are desperate for you. As the one who is desperate for the lover that has gone away, and they have not seen in distance of time. God, we are desperate for the lover of our soul to show up once again, and to be right here with us, because you are God alone. Just want to share with you this morning that when God created you and he created me, there was a peace. I saw a commercial. It's not even our commercial. I'm glad somebody had the resources to put it on St. Louis wide TV. Do you remember when all the pieces of this puzzle would fly out towards the screen and there was one piece missing? There was just one piece missing. And then this one piece would come from the front of the screen. And the piece would fit in the center, and all it said was Jesus. That's the peace that was filled 2,000 years ago. When Christ came, you see, there was a hole in a fallen man. There was a hole, and the puzzle would never be perfectly filled until Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And then 3 days later, when he rose from that grave and he witnessed to the 500 throughout that region, and he said, I'm going to send back the piece of the puzzle that will permanently reside within you, and you will receive power, and you'll be a witness to me, because the Spirit of the living God will be upon you. Listen, I'm sorry if it messes with our doctrine a little bit, but he didn't say, and you'll speak in tongues. They did. But what he said is, you'll receive power to be witnesses unto me. And they did, by the way. The evidence was there. They were filled. There was tongues of fire over them that just absolutely rocked their world. They were like, can you imagine? I never will forget, if it wasn't for the fact my wife is in the room who witnessed it as well. Mary Ellen, you may have been there. Years ago at First Assembly of God in St. Charles, there was a woman, just remain standing just for a second. There was a woman that had come to speak from India. She had actually been in the same convent that Mother Teresa had been in. Her name was Sister Teresa. She was an anointed, amazing, you remember? She was an amazing, faith-filled woman. Cindy, you might have been there as well. But it was 7 days. Hey, girls, how are you? I just realized you all were here. I love it. Thank you. We were all there in this room, filled with hundreds of people, and Sister Teresa began to just speak the word of the living God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, whether you've seen this or not, I have never seen it before. I have never seen it since. I don't need to, because I don't need more evidence that Jesus is real. But I'm going to tell you something. The power of God rested upon Sister Teresa as she began to fill and just speak the word. Speak the word. And we were standing there, and I was sitting on the platform over here, sitting next to Roger Horn and sitting in front of Mike Hauser, our youth pastor at the time. And we noticed, we looked up, and Gil was there, Gilbert Imuge. Is Anna here this morning? Is she out here? Okay, there you are. Gilbert was sitting there on the drums. Anna, were you there that night? This ball of fire comes out. If you knew the auditorium, the baptistry was up there. This ball of fire comes out in the middle of the air. This comes out over Sister Teresa. And as God is my witness, that ball of fire hung above Sister Teresa as long as she preached. And when she stopped preaching, that ball of fire went, and tongues of fire went everywhere. As God is my witness, there are those in this room who saw that as well as I did. And Mike Hauser leaned up behind me. Dude, what was that? I said, give me a minute. Just give me a minute. I'm still taking it in myself. I have witnesses. Gilbert comes up to me into service, comes back up the steps to the drums. He stops right at my chair. Pastor Barry, what was with the big ball of fire? I said, I think you just saw Acts chapter 2 all over again. It's here. He is here. I've never told that. I don't know that I've ever told that story. But I've had people say, oh, I want to see that again. I don't. Because I don't need it. I just need Jesus. You see, he filled the puzzle in. He filled the puzzle in when he came 2,000 years ago. You see, all I need is Jesus. He's the missing piece of my puzzle. All I need is Jesus, because the rest will seek ye first the kingdom of God. Who is the kingdom of God? Jesus. And all these things will be added unto you. Heavenly Father, we're not looking for tongues of fire again. We're just looking for the power of God to rest in our lives as you promised. And I'm asking you, God, fill us with your spirit today. Fill us to overflowing. God, the evidence is already there. The transformation in each of our lives is the greatest evidence of transformation. It's greater than fire falling from the sky. It's greater than tongues. It's the transformation of a life from a track on the way destined, separated from God, and transformed to a new life in Christ, and on their way to heaven, spending eternity with Jesus Christ. Now, I think he deserves a tremendous hand, because he is the creator that made it all possible. Come on. He is the creator that made it all possible. Hallelujah. And I bring us back into that. And I will always love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome Rick Tidwell, his first Sunday on the worship team. Love it. You took us to a new level of cool this morning. I want you to know. You may have a seat. Isn't God good? Give the band a huge hand. They're just walking in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. What a gift we have from God. I just happen to believe that the love on this earth, that the only love that even comes close to the love of God is the love of a mother for her children. It's true. It's true. Years ago, there was a young man that was trying to date our oldest daughter. Is she here? I won't tell the story. Oh, she is here. Okay, never mind. Anyway, I told the young man on the phone at 6 in the morning, just want you to know you got to deal with Mama Bear. Really? That's all I said. He says, seriously? I said, you're dealing with me's easy. You mess with her baby, a Mama Bear comes out of the cave early. Ain't no love like a mama bear. Ain't no love like a mom on this earth. Yeah, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is good. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. I want to do something different this morning. My watch says it is 8:30, so that means it's broken. It's the truth. That is the truth. Yeah, I got a lot of time till noon. So we're good. Just relax, enjoy, sit back. Petticoat Junction, take your shoes off. You all sat back now. Here? I want every woman to stand. Every woman. Not every mother. I didn't say that. I said every woman to stand. There's something about the gift of women in our lives. I know it's Mother's Day, but I want to take it beyond that. Because you see, it's really about the seed that God sowed into every woman. There's something, every woman, I would say from 16 on up, every woman, stand up. If you're 16 or older, I want you to stand up because God's speaking to you, starting to speak. And I want to tell you what, 16-year-old boy ain't near advanced as 16-year-old girl. So you're already hearing that there's just this thing inside of young ladies that comes early, a sensitivity to God. I want you to stand. What you ladies are in our lives is nothing less than the heartbeat of God right next to us. Whether you're married or whether you're yet to be married, and that young man is yet to be chosen, you are the very heartbeat of God on this earth. I'm going to read something to you, and it's a spiritual blessing over you. And then I'm going to dismiss you early to go be with your families. Because you see, this is the greatest gift I could give you, is the time with your children and your children's children. It's precious. And some of you have plans, and I'm not just doing it for lunch. I'm doing it because I want you to be with your families. It's the most precious day for a mother every year, or for a woman every year. And I want to read this blessing over to you, and I want to point out some things as I go through it, if you'll remain standing. It's not long, but it is Proverbs 31. It's about a woman, the virtuous woman in the King James. It's called the virtuous woman. And I just want to read this blessing over you. It says, a wife, and I'm going to refer to a woman of noble character who can find. Who can find that woman of noble character. And he's insinuating, the writer is insinuating, that you have to search for her. You actually have to find her. Who can find her? She is worth far more than rubies. Think culture now. Think culture. Okay. Got to take you back about 4,000 years. Think culture here. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. Wow. And lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Your work ethic is beyond description, is what he's saying. And it's hard work. It's hard work to be a woman. It's hard work to continue to walk intimately with God. There are times it's hard. And we men make it harder for you. We can make it harder for you. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Do you know that that's a reference to the fact that as at the ports they would stand and look for that ship, that maiden voyage oftentimes. They would look for the ship to come in that would bring the sources and the resources that we need so badly as a culture and as a community. We would look with eager eyes from the port, and that's what he's describing, is what they would, the anticipation from the port. I think I see her. I think I see her coming in. And that's what they would look for with eager eyes. Because you see, oftentimes pirates would assume some kind of location near the port because they knew the lane that the ships would come in. And they would go out and guard with other ships. Talk to people down in Key West, and they'll tell you the only place in the United States that northern troops and southern troops gathered, and they did not fight. In fact, they took their uniforms off to abide in truce with each other was at the ports down in Key West. Because you see, their common enemy was not each other. Their common enemy was the pirate. Those who would steal the valuables before they would get into port. And they would together fight on the same side to ensure that the merchant ships would get in. It goes on to say, bringing her food from afar, she gets up while it is still. I'm reminded of the times, Anna, you would bring the water from afar. I know the story. I remember your story, walking miles to bring water to the river, just to get to the river, and the river water that you would have to bring back miles for one day. She gets up while it is still dark, and she provides food for her family. Anna, that was your mama. You see, we have people in here. If you don't know Anna's story from Uganda, what was the village again? Abu? The Abu village. See, this is real. This isn't even 2,000 or 4,000 years ago. This is today. They still do that. Now they have the wells that Anna had dug, but they still do, many in that village still do that. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and she buys it. Let me tell you, have you ever noticed how God put a business savvy, good judgment in a godly woman? That's why it's good. There were times when we never did anything without any kind of business without Gina and I first being in agreement, because I knew if she was in agreement, first of all, she's smarter than me. She's the CPA. She understands dollars. And I'm telling you, I counted on Gina's counsel. She considers a field and she buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. You ladies do what it takes as long as it takes to get the job done. In her hand, she holds the distaff and the grasp, the spindle with her fingers. In other words, she's multitasking. Did you read that? Read that in a message sometime. Y'all are multitaskers. Y'all get that, right? We guys do one thing at a time. Now, some of us are multitaskers. I have a feeling some of you are really gifted at multitasking. I'm not. So I have Gina in my life. And I have two girls also. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Have you ever noticed the compassionate one in the car when you pull up next to someone who had a sign at a corner? The compassionate one in car oftentimes is the soft-hearted woman that sits beside us men. Are you going to give him something? Or she sees a mother standing there with her children. Are you here? Give her this. This was from one mother to another. Her compassion is limitless. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate. Do you know why he was respected? Because she kept him in a position to be respected. Because oftentimes the woman will stand there and look at you and say, if you only knew what people would think of you if they knew that about you, you need to not do that. You need to reconsider that. You need to think that through next time. You see, she kept him respectable. This is directly tied to a virtuous woman. It isn't he got her because he deserved her. And there are men of excellent integrity, by the way. But recognize that the writer is tying the virtuous woman to the success of her husband, because her counsel is important. Where he takes, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, a virtuous woman is. She can laugh at the days to come because she has actually overcome the past and she knows what it takes to move forward. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household while doing all of that. By the way, did you catch that? This is not some do this, some do this. No, it's while she's doing all of that and keeping her husband in a place of respectability, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't just sit around. Her children arise and we do this today and we call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Men, Praise should ever be on our lips for the bride that we walk down that aisle with. Praise ought to be always on our lips for the bride that we walk down that aisle with. Because we are blessed. By the way, if you speak curses on her, who do you think married her? I'm just saying. It's the craziest thing in the world when I hear men speaking poorly of their wives. They insult themselves. And I forgive me if that came across offensive, but I want you to know, our words need to be the words of blessing to our wives. And we fail at that so often. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And I'm speaking this over you ladies here today. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Gentlemen, would you stand and let's give them praise at the gates today. Come up here, hon. Come up here. Let's pray. In fact, if you're not standing with your spouse, if you can, pastors, just go find your, go find her, because we want to stand there and pray this blessing over our families, the ladies, the women in our families. See, I have daughters as well. And I want to pray this blessing over the women of St. Charles River Church. Heavenly Father, you have so amazingly gifted us with the women that are in our lives. And I pray, God, your greatest blessing upon the women of our lives here at St. Charles River Church. I ask you, Father, that you would so bless these ladies, Father, in Jesus' name. Let it be so, God, that your hand of blessing and multiplication of that anointing would be upon them. I ask you, Father, for our wives, that you make them everything, God. Make them everything that you've designed them to be. And let us not, as husbands, be of hindrance to our wives. Because when we see the possibility of a godly woman and what they can be and who and how they impact, God, we don't ever want to stand in that way. We rise up and we call our wives, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, and all of the women in our lives, we rise up and call them blessed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And every believer said, amen. Give these ladies another hand, will you? You may have a seat.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.